Welcome to the Irresistible You podcast. This is the place to get a dose of empowerment to create the life you crave and deserve. My name is Amy with two E's, and I am the CEO and founder of Irresistible University. Through my podcast and programs, I teach women just like you how to ditch the body image issues, gain confidence, and lose the emotional weight to look and feel irresistible at any size. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 215, and today I am talking to you about my recent epiphany that food just isn't fun anymore. That's right, guys. I said it. So let me just share with you how this kind of came to be. So I've been feeling this for quite a while since I started on the tirzepatide injections with my weight loss journey. So for those of you that don't know, I am taking the tirzepatide injections. I'm giving more details around that and the actual weight loss and the numbers and such in my 10 pounds, 10 times series, which is right here on the podcast. So as long as you are subscribed, you're getting the new episodes, you will see those come up. But I've been feeling this for a little while since being on the injections and really truly seeing the effects since I have gone up to the 12.5 dose. Ever since I got on the 12.5 dose, things really started to shift for me. Things really started to, like, a lot of the things that other people were saying about the injections and about the success they were having, it really started to speed up for me. It was working before on the lower doses, but it wasn't as strong, okay? And so this is actually, there's some truth to this scientifically because they state that the 12.5 is the, and the 15 is the true therapeutic doses. So for some people, it's gonna work right out the gate, like just take off down the road running. And for others like me, it has gone a little bit slower. And now that I'm on the 12.5, it's different. So if you want to really dive into that, the 10 pounds, 10 times episodes are where I get into that a little bit deeper. But I've been feeling for a while this kind of thought and statement that food just isn't fun anymore. Food just isn't pleasurable anymore. And I don't think it's supposed to be fun and pleasurable. Maybe it is. I don't know. As emotional eaters, we tie a lot of emotion into food. And it's so funny because I've heard people say, I'm not an emotional eater. I only eat when I'm happy. I'm like, girl, that's an emotion, okay? Even if you eat in happy times, like, you know, you just go big when there's a celebration or you're, you know, that's all emotional eating. Emotional eating is not just sitting around sad and depressed on the couch, shoving your face with cupcakes. Emotional eating is for all the emotions. And this really kind of came to a head and had this aha epiphany moment last week on spring break. The kids and I took a little road trip up to the mountains. We went to the Shenandoah Caverns. And let me just tell you, like, we had such a good time. Okay, minus a couple of three-year-old meltdowns, which is to be expected. Minus that, we just had such a good time. And I have to tell you, like, travel is my love language. I would take experiences and travel over things any day of the week. And I just, it's been a while since I hit the road and just got out there and did some exploring, and it was just so nice. And so I shared a lot of that on Instagram, and I'm going to be sharing in more detail on some upcoming reels that I'm going to be publishing. So stay tuned for that over on IG. But this epiphany that I came to while out of town was that food just isn't fun anymore. I'm not finding or seeking fun, pleasure, enjoyment, escapism in the food like I once did. And I say that because, especially on vacation, because I'm a foodie. I love to enjoy the foods of different areas that we go to. I think food and trying new things is such a big part of the travel experience. And there's been a lot of times in the past with travel that I feel like I'm going to be missing out on something if I don't experience, you know, a non-chain restaurant in the area, or, you know, going to, well, you can't go to New Orleans and not get beignets, but like, that's beside the point, right? But like, just finding like, oh, we're in the mountains, we have to go eat here. Oh, we're here, there's this restaurant I heard of, we have to eat there. And a lot of it too is like being with the kids, things got to be easy in and out, right? Especially with a three-year-old. Seven-year-old, we can do a little bit more. And I would feel like I would be missing out on something. I would be a little upset. I would be mad maybe. And this past trip, and even the other day, we took a little day trip up to Williamsburg, the kids and I. And it was the same way. Like, I just am not finding food as fun as it once was. And I know I've shared way back on the podcast, ever since I had kids, one of my guilty pleasures became eating in the car. Like, get the kids in the car seat, they're occupied, they can take a nap, they're watching their shows, they're quiet, and I'm gonna order some food or I'm gonna bring some snacks in the car. And that was kind of like a guilty pleasure of mine. And even on these road trips, I have found, I mean, we bring the snacks because, you know, little kids, like I have the big bag of like drinks and snacks. And Frank's like, you guys are going for one night? I'm like, you know how they are. And I did not snack in the car. Okay. I was just sipping my Stanley with my water. Okay. And so it really dawned on me how much this medication is changing my behaviors even more. Like before the medication, I had already done a lot of the work on, you know, my emotional eating and how I thought about myself and food and all of that. But there's still some work to be done. We always have work to be done. But I'm noticing that with the injections, it's just taking it to another level where sometimes I'm in awe. I'm like, is this what normal people do? Is this how normal people eat? Is this how normal people feel about food? So, you know, and even the food that I ate, I'm not able to finish it all. So people are like, well, what are you doing differently? And I'm going to tell you, I'm not on a diet. I'm not counting points. I'm not tracking currently. I'm not measuring. I'm not restricting. I'm eating like a normal person, but I'm not able to consume the amount of food that I once could. So for example, I don't remember if it was in a regular episode or 10 pounds, 10 times. I shared the Chili's example with Frank and I, like we're now sharing an appetizer when we order. Like, who are we? We both are just like, who are we? What's going on here? And at the hotel, to make things simple, you know, fun food me would want to go into town. We stayed in Stanton, which is a nice little like mountain town. And food fun Amy would want to go into downtown. There's like little shops and restaurants, try a local mom and pop joint, you know, try something that's like more authentic to the area. And, you know, I have the kids. That's part of the issue too, right? It's like when you have the little kids, it's like there's a ticking time bomb with the three-year-old, my son, and we're just not doing that. So I DoorDashed to the hotel. They think it is just like the best thing ever. They think it's like, I'm like, all right, we're going to order room service, even DoorDash, but like, you know, and they just had a ball. Like they had a ball and a time was had. And we ordered Chili's because when I was going through DoorDash, because we're in a small town, it's mostly chain restaurants. And I am someone, when you go, like I said, when I go to town, I don't want to eat at a Chili's. I don't want to eat at McDonald's. I don't want to eat at a chain. But convenience, we're trying to avoid some meltdowns. We're trying to stay in for the night. You know, that's just what it's going to be. And I know if I order Chili's, these kids freaking love Chili's. They're going to tear it up. They're going to actually eat their dinner and we're going to be all good. So as of lately, when I order Chili's, if Frank is not with me, I'm just ordering the Southwest egg roll appetizer. And it comes with 3 full egg rolls and you slice them in half. So essentially there's 6 pieces. I ate 1 egg roll, I mean 2 pieces, 1 full egg roll. And I put the rest away. I was full. And even prior to injections, medication, I normally couldn't finish a full meal in one sitting. But I would eat that remaining leftovers tonight. And I would think, oh, I can't wait till the kids go to sleep and I'm going to bust out my leftovers, watch me a movie, relax. And what I have been finding, the amount of leftovers that I have been throwing away is blowing my mind. And I don't get that guilt about, oh, you better eat it because you paid for it. It's like, here's how I look at that. Yes, you paid for the food. The food served its purpose. It got you full. It gave you what you needed. It got you your nutrients. Whether you eat all of it or not is irrelevant because you got what you needed out of it. And whether I eat all the food or I throw it away, it still costs me the same amount of money. Okay. And I'm either going to pay for that by ordering that portion size and paying whatever the cost is, or I'm going to pay in my health and my weight by eating every single thing just because I paid for it. I also hate that phrase that people a lot of times will tell their kids, and I do not use this with my kids because I absolutely despise it. You better eat everything because there's people starving. There's people starving all over the world. Yes, unfortunately, there are people starving. There is a world hunger issue, but let me tell you something. Eating every morsel on your plate that you've already paid for, that you've already brought into the house as groceries or gone to a restaurant and brought home or are eating, that food is not going to go to someone who's starving. It's too late for that. And you not eating everything on your plate is not solving world hunger. So that guilt and shame that's been put on you by whomever, you need to get rid of that. That's not doing anything. So, you know, we ended up ordering that for dinner. And the next day we had the hotel included breakfast. So we went downstairs and did breakfast. And I got myself some scrambled eggs, a couple of breakfast potatoes. I took a few bites and I'm like, I'm full. And not only that, like if I don't want to start my day, that was our day to like do all the caverns and all the activities I had planned for us. So I took a few bites. I felt full. I felt satisfied. I'm like, let's go. And we went to the Shenandoah Caverns. It was just so, like, I just love going places. It doesn't matter if it's overseas or just a mountain town 3.5 hours from my house. Like, I just love it. And they have this adorable cafe that is in the, not down in the caverns, but like the welcome center, if you will. And it's called Caverns Cafe. And it's an old timey diner even has the stools up at the bar where you can eat. It's just so awesome. And so I ordered a good old fashioned cheeseburger. The kids got hot dogs. And let me tell you, this burger was so good. It was so juicy, so delicious. And I wanted to eat it all because it tasted good. But I physically could not finish it. And there have been times, and I know you can relate to this, where I would be like, well, you know, yes, I feel full. I feel like I'm satisfied, but I'm going to keep eating because number one, I don't want to throw it away. It tastes too good. We're about to get back in the car. It's not going to keep well as on a road trip. Let me just finish this up. And then I'm going to feel horrible and physically hurting afterwards. No, I was like, you know what? I enjoyed what I could. It tasted really good. And we're going to stop. And I'm like, am I really learning? And am I really now able to do this intuitive eating crap? I'm not going to go that far yet and say that. But, and I know I've trashed intuitive eating before. I'm like, if I knew how to intuitively eat, I wouldn't be in my position, right? I wouldn't have a weight issue my whole life. But with this medicine, I am intuitively eating. I'm eating when I'm full or eating when I'm hungry. I'm stopping when I had enough. And I'm not feeling like I'm missing out on something. Where before it's like, no. You know, when are you ever going to go to Caverns Cafe again? You better eat all this food, right? So, and I'm like, this is what I've taught my kids since they've started eating is like, I always tell them, take what you want, leave the rest. They'll say, do I have to? I'm like, no, eat what you want, leave the rest. You know, so I've taught my kids that to listen to their bodies. If you're hungry, you're hungry. If you're full, you're full. It's fine. And so being able to finally do this, like it feels liberating. It feels like I could actually cry because it feels so normal. And I've never known what that felt like. I've never known what it felt like to truly be able to stop and not feel a certain type of way about it, not feel pissed off. So, you know, we went and did all our activities. We did some driving around the mountains and then it was time to go home. So I knew I had a 4-hour drive now because we were further away and there was a McDonald's, pretty much the only thing in sight. And so we stopped at McDonald's. I got the kids Happy Meals and I went ahead and got myself something. Now, normally I have been, if we go to McDonald's, my thing that I usually just order a Happy Meal with a medium drink, to be honest with you. Sometimes I'll get the 2 cheeseburger meal, but I end up throwing away the second. So it's really not worth it for me to buy that. So I was like, you know what? I'm actually feeling pretty hungry. We have a long drive home. I don't want to have to stop again for food. I ordered the quarter pounder with cheese. I rarely eat that, okay? And I took a few of the fries. I'm like, I don't want any more. I ate probably half of that burger and I threw it away. And I was completely fine the rest of the way home. So this has just been really huge for me. And just to recap a little bit, like one, feeling like I can eat like a normal person as long as I'm listening to my body. So let me make that very clear. This medication is not a magic cure. And I actually was thinking about stopping it before I got on the 12.5 because I'm like, it's not working for me the same. It's not as strong for me. I'm not like the pounds aren't coming off for me as fast as I see. Like I'm in the different Facebook groups and my God, you guys, my husband, he has lost 65 pounds. Like, what? In the same amount of time as me that we've been on it together. 65 pounds he has lost. There's not an ounce of fat left on his body. He just reacted differently to it. He reacted way different at the early doses and it just worked differently. Where now for me, now that I've gone up a little bit in the dose, I'm seeing better results. And I think some of it too is, and I know I'm kind of going on a tangent and I'm a little all over the place, so bear with me. I've never been diagnosed, but I strongly have the belief that I do have insulin resistance. And the reason I say that is because I've taken metformin in the past, which is a type 2 diabetic medication. It also can be used for weight loss purposes. And when I was on the metformin, it made it easier for the weight to come off. The weight has never melted off for me. The weight has never flown off for me. I don't think that's ever going to be a thing. But then why are these medications working for me? And I shared with you before, go back a few episodes, my recent blood work and my numbers are better than they have been. Like, I don't know the last time they were that good. The other thing I've started to notice, and again, I'm kind of going over all over the place, but just stay with me, please. Before I started taking the injections, okay, I started noticing my hands were constantly feeling sore, constantly feeling numb in the mornings, constantly just feeling sore. And I blamed it on I have diagnosed carpal tunnel, and I blamed it on that. But not only that, I would wake up and my body just felt sore, inflamed. I guess inflammation is probably what was going on here. And it's one of those things that you gradually, it happens gradually, and suddenly you realize, I don't feel like that anymore. My body is not aching. My body is not feeling inflamed and numb. So you can't just base this success on any health plan that you're doing, whether you're on GLP-1 injections or you're doing whatever. You can't just base it on the weight and the number on the scale, because I have been seeing benefits on all kinds of areas that I just explained. Not only that, I have felt my stomach, my midsection areas, even before the weight started to go down, I started noticing that those were getting smaller. So things have been happening, and sometimes you got to just stick with it and ride that wave and see where you're going to go with this, right? So just to recap what I've been saying here, the epiphany that I had is that food just isn't fun anymore. It's not a pleasure outlet per se for me anymore. And that's been bringing up some things. So for example, right, I have a busy schedule every day between running my business, working with clients, and then being a mom to a 7 and a 3-year-old and a chihuahua. And, you know, my husband works nights, so we're opposite schedules. Like, we're just out here doing our thing and we're busy. So at the end of the day, you know, once the kids go to sleep, it's like, this is the first time for the entire day that no clients need anything from me. My kids don't need anything from me. The house is quiet. There's no expectation to check emails or catch up on work, or you know what I'm saying. So it's that moment of, I am so mentally exhausted and physically, I just need to zone out. I need to turn on Lifetime Movie Network and order some cheesecake or order some comfort food or just snack or what have you, right? And that, sadly, sometimes has felt like, and this sounds so bad, but it's true. It's not true every day, but it's true. Sometimes that's the only thing you have to look forward to in a demanding day like that. And I've always said, you have to have other things to look forward to besides food. Because if food is the only thing you have to look forward to, it's your only pleasure outlet, it's your only release outlet, that's how you get caught up in the weight cycle. You know, the yo-yo dieting, the body hate, shame cycle, right? It just keeps repeating itself. You need other things to look forward to. And I have found at night, I come downstairs, okay? Am I physically hungry? No. But it's almost like a habit, like, okay, what dessert could I have right now? Or what snack could I do, you know, while I watch TV or while I catch up on reels or whatever. And when I start thinking and trying to plan what I want to eat, literally nothing sounds good to me. There's these sea salt chocolate covered caramels with sea salt from Sam's Club. Caramel is like one of my favorite things in the entire world. These things are absolutely delicious. We got a can of them. They didn't last. They probably lasted a week. I got a second can at Sam's Club going, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't do this. I don't feel like this is something you should have in the house. Like, it's a little bit hard to say no to. And I have had that can or canister of the caramels now for it's probably been almost a month. It's been about a month, probably, I think. Yeah. I even put four of them in a baggie because they're like squares. They're pretty substantial size. I put four in a bag. I threw them in my snack bag for the truck for our trip. I came home with all four of them. I knew they were there. I didn't forget. So it's like, I think about it. I'm like, ooh, what about this? No, that doesn't really sound good. Ooh, what about that? No, that doesn't really sound good. What do you want to, order some cheesecake? No, I don't. So my wallet is very thankful as well. but it just doesn't hit the same way anymore. And even Frank and I on the weekends, like, we would feed the kids their dinner, get them off to bed. And then we're like, you want to order food? Yeah. Let's order food. Right. And it became like a guilty pleasure for the two of us, right? Like, let's watch a movie. Let's order some like really good stuff. Like, and now we're not, or I like our door dashing has gone down tremendously. And even when we do, like I said, we are sharing food, right? So both of us, there just isn't that same, the plotting and the planning and the fantasizing about food, it really has gone away. Now, it's not like it disappears forever. There's still times where, like, ooh, I just have an inkling for this. I would really like to eat this. I would really like to have that. But it's not as strong. And because I don't want to eat and I physically can't sometimes and my brain doesn't crave certain things, because this medicine, why it is so amazing is it's working on your gut and your brain connection, because there's a big connection between your stomach and your brain and cravings and fullness and all of that. So it's left that sometimes it feels like you're going to come out of your skin, because you're like, I'll find myself wandering the house, going in the refrigerator, and I'm like, I don't even want anything, but I'm bored. I want that hand to mouth, like, you know, the motion. Or sometimes when I'm working, I want to have something to snack on. So I've been snacking on cherry tomatoes and balsamic vinegar, and it's delicious, right? And it feels better. So this medication, you feel fuller, but you also don't crave food in the same way. So yes, it takes away the food noise, the food chatter. And then Sunday, this past Sunday after cheer practice, Kat and I went to sushi together, the two of us. And they usually have a bento box for lunch, comes with two rolls, the soup, the salad. It was already like 3:05, so lunch had ended, so I had to do the dinner box. The dinner box comes with three rolls. I have always thought the three rolls was a lot of food, but I would eat it all, because one, it tastes really good. Number two, sushi doesn't keep well. It's not really something you want to get in a to-go box, right, for later. And I would leave feeling really, really full. So I ordered that. I ate like a good portion of my soup, because, you know, that I love the miso soup and I want to fill up on the soup. Ate that. And then I had a shrimp tempura roll, a volcano roll, and they have one called the dream roll. The shrimp tempura has six pieces. I ate the four, the ones with the long tail. She wanted them. I gave them to her. So I had four of those. And I think the volcano was also like six pieces or so. And I ate two of them. And the dream roll, I ate one piece and I was like, I am done. Like, I cannot, if I even try to take another bite of this food, I'm going to vomit. I'm not going to get it to go. It's not going to taste good in an hour. I don't want it. Like I'm, like I said, there's also that where I'm feeling this, like this gratefulness of like, thank you for the food. Thank you for feeding me. I am okay to walk away and leave it here. We don't always need to get a box. And that was when I realized going out to eat, which is something I've always loved to do. Like I said, I'm definitely a foodie. I love to try new things. Going out to eat just doesn't hit the same way anymore. And I enjoyed my time with my daughter and talking to her and just the two of us being out together. And I'm like, this is what normal people do. They focus on the company. They focus on, you know, eating until they're full enough and they stop. And it's just blowing my mind. Like, it's blowing my mind. So I'm like, okay, food just isn't as fun anymore. It's not as exciting. It's not. And Frank and I were talking about it last night. He was never like a true emotional eater, but I mean, I don't know, maybe so. Cause like I said, we used to, you know, our little meals and splurges together, but we both were saying how it's like, oh my God, like the duh obvious, like, oh my God, we're just eating to survive now. Like, that's what food is for, you know, but we have so much emotion, memories tied into food. And I think it's okay to, you know, enjoy your food and want to try new things. Like, I'm not going to stop doing that. I think it's okay to find pleasure in eating certain things, right? If that wasn't the case, nobody would go out for ice cream. Nobody goes out for ice cream or cheesecake to nourish their body. No one goes out for ice cream or cheesecake to get full. We go out to get those things as a treat, for pleasure, for enjoyment. And I think that's perfectly normal. You know, I think there's a balance of eating when you're hungry, stopping when you're full, eating in moderation, and stepping away from the disordered eating. And I have shared with you guys how for a while, I have been conflicted about tracking my food. Okay. I have the Weight Watchers app. I still pay for it. I still have it. I track my weight in there. I don't track my food, and I haven't been tracking my food for a very long time. Every time I would go to do it, there was this hesitation. There was this annoyance, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And I got to the point where I was fed up. It was last summer where I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it on my own. Nothing is working. I'm tracking my food. I'm picking the right things, and I'm still gaining weight. Yes, I was gaining weight even when I was doing quote unquote all the right things. So again, that's what gives me a flag about the insulin resistance as well. Because if you are insulin resistant, it doesn't matter how much you diet and exercise. The weight can't come off, or it's going to come off ounce by ounce. Okay. So I was just fed up, and I'm like, this injection thing, I'm going to give it a shot. Oh my God. No pun intended. But I'm going to give it a shot. Oh my God, it's so corny. So I decided this is my last resort. This is the last resort, okay? I just got to a point, for whatever reason, after Javi, after turning 40, things got really hard. It's always been hard for me. It got harder. And I was like, I just want. And that's what I said. I just want to be like a normal person. I don't want to have to think and obsess and plan and fantasize and meal prep and write things down or put it in your phone. I don't want to do it anymore. And I was thinking about this. I went on my first diet at 12 years old. I am 42 years old. I have been calculating the food in my brain for 30 effing years. and I'm fed up. I'm done. I don't want to calculate. I don't want to measure. I don't want to track. I don't want to plan. I don't want to prepare. I want to eat when I'm hungry, stop when I'm full, enjoy a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and move on with my life and have a body that's healthy and at a good weight for me. That's all I want. And that's never been possible without just sacrifice, constantly feeling like you're sacrificing, like you are missing out on something, like you're hungry all the time. It's like, oh, I stayed in my points, but guess what? I'm going to bed hungry again. I must be working. That is disordered. And as much as I love Weight Watchers, you know, I give Weight Watchers credit because that is what taught me truly how to eat. I never drank water before Weight Watchers. And I'm talking, we're going back to the early 2000s. I never drank waters. I never ate fruit. It's shocking, right? Like, I never ate these things. It taught me how to eat in moderation. It taught me how to pick this or that, basically, right? Like, when you go out to eat, let's get the grilled chicken sandwich over the fried chicken sandwich. Let's get the mustard-based over the cream-based sauce, okay? It taught me how to eat better. But the one thing that I was still struggling with was the tracking. And I was thinking about this. I've been dieting basically for 30 years, watching what I eat, and maybe not like not even always dieting, but like having to be mindful, having to be just always thinking about it. That's a long time. And my brain is like a calculator. Every piece of food that I look at, my brain whips out this calculator and it's like, ooh, that's this many points. Oh, that's this many that's this many carbs. Like, you just like, and I don't want to eat like that anymore. I don't want to have to add stuff. I don't want to have to track things. And maybe at some point I will have to track again. I don't know. But if I could continue this way, then this is what I would prefer to do. And you are free to change how you do things at any time. This is how I want to do things. And it feels liberating to not have to open an app. It feels liberating to not have to like plan my food the night before. And I think there's value in that, right? There's value in planning your food, planning your meals for the week. Like, I still plan out, okay, for the week, this is what we're having for dinners. This is what we're having for lunch. Like, I do that. But I can't be so rigorous in my eating. I don't want it to be the center of everything. I don't want to obsess over it. I don't want to have a human calculator in my brain of points. And quite frankly, the last few years of Weight Watchers have really pissed me off because it felt it started to feel like a diet, okay? There was plans within Weight Watchers that didn't feel like a diet. You felt like you could eat in moderation. If you followed the points, you stay in your points, you could do it. And then they started switching things up. And I mean, what is it, 22 points a day or some bullshit that I have? That makes it really hard. Really hard to eat. So that's where I'm at right now. Again, we have the ability to change how we're doing things at any time. If at some point the weight isn't coming off, it's not working, the cravings are coming back, then I can go back to, all right, maybe I need to like, you know, think a little bit more and track and just kind of gauge. So I have that data. Like I always tell you guys, that way you have data to make decisions. But I would love to never have to do it again. I don't want to do it. And it made me think how disordered that way of eating is. It's so disordered when you're constantly moving and shifting like a bank account, points around, or, you know, oh, okay, I'm going to go to bed starving, but you know what? Eggs are free. Let me heat up some egg beaters real quick. I don't want to do that at night. you know? So that's where I'm at. Food just isn't as fun anymore. I still love food. I do. But it's not as fun anymore. It's not as exciting. It's not as pleasurable. It's not as good. I think there's something to be said about this medicine too. I think that it changes your palate a little bit because things just, so you're like, oh yeah, I definitely want to eat that. And you go to eat it and something about it just isn't as good anymore. Or it's not as satisfying in that emotional way, right? So it's just really got my brain spinning. It's got me really thinking about things. And, you know, I've been on this journey. This journey's been 30 years in the making. And I've learned a lot along the way. And what really, I mean, back in 2011, I think it was now, is when I started my therapy journey to really dig into the, like, and I highly recommend that to anyone listening. If you have an emotional eating or binge eating disorder, please see a therapist. Please get that help to uncover the why. Because until you do that, let me be very clear. Until you do that and you work on yourself, it doesn't matter the weight loss surgery. It doesn't matter what type of injection. It doesn't matter what type of points, what type of meal plan. You're going to always go back to where you started from. You've got to uncover the why and work through your issues around yourself and food and your body. That is a must. And so I will always be learning. I will always be evolving on this journey, you know, and through my journey with breaking free from the, you know, the binge eating, I came through the Irresistible You framework that I created. I was like, this is what's missing. You know, all the diet and the exercise in the world isn't going to fix you until you fix yourself. You know, until you create a life that you crave, a life that you truly deserve. And it's not going to come from just losing the weight. Losing the weight feels good. It's going to feel good. It's going to give you liberation physically. It's going to help you do things you couldn't do physically. It feels good, and I'm not there yet, but to like walk in a store and grab something off the shelf and know it's going to look good. But you can't forget about you. And so I think that connects back to what I'm talking about here is that food cannot be your only outlet for enjoyment. You've got to have something else to feed your soul, not your stomach. You need something to feed your soul, not your stomach. And feed your soul is one of my guiding principles in the framework. You know, so figuring out what it's like to be with you. What is it like to be alone with yourself? Because so many of you don't want to be alone with yourself. So many of you are so afraid of your thoughts when everyone goes to sleep and everything gets quiet. You don't want to hear your thoughts. You got to learn how to be with yourself by yourself. You got to find things that you enjoy doing. You know, one of my big outlets is kayaking. It's no secret if you're a longtime listener of mine. And I really miss that. Since I had kids, it's been really hard to get out on the water because, you know, by the time Kat was somewhat old enough to be able to maybe go, then I got pregnant with Javi on purpose. And then I have a newborn. And he is now 3.5. She's 7.5. And I told Frank, I said, we're not skipping out this summer. You know, the past couple summers, because I have to be in the water. I have to be around water in the summer. I have to. Like, my body has to. I crave it. I need it. And so, you know, we have a pool, an in-ground pool at home. And that's been just a blessing, especially during COVID when we moved here. Like, to be able to get in the water and move and swim and do that, and especially with a baby. And now that Javi is, you know, going on 4, I told Frank, I said, this is it. our kayaks have been hanging on that wall in the garage, and they need to get dusted off, and we need to get out in the water this summer. We're going to take these kids. Like, Catalina is 100,000% ready. You know, and that will take me on a new journey of like, all right, what do I need to prepare to kayak as a type 1 diabetic, right? Because I got to remember, you know, out on the water, I got to bring her things and, you know, have it waterproof with her phone and her insulin pump controller. So, you know, but that's I've adapted so well to managing that it's like, we're going to get a waterproof bag. We're going to throw some low snacks. We're going to make sure we have a glucagon pen and we're going for it. Right. But Javi, I'm a little nervous. He's 3.5, guys, say less. Like, you know, he has really good days, and then he has days where you're like, what's going on here? And out on the water, you can't panic. You can't have a temper tantrum. And kayaking taught me that. It taught me how to be calm despite what's going on around me. I have an absolute, it would probably be diagnosable, phobia of snakes. Don't talk about snakes around me. If you even throw a rubber one at me, I will never talk to you again. Like, it's intense. And so, you know, out on the waterways where we go, you're gonna see some, right? And Frank taught me from the very beginning, he's like, listen, you have to be calm. You can't panic. And we were out in Back Bay. If you're from Virginia Beach, you know there's a lot of snakes out that way. And we were paddling next to each other, and we were close enough that he kind of like put his arm out and he stopped me. And he's like, just stay calm. And I said, what's going on? What is it? He goes, just stay calm. And I looked, you know, probably 10, 12 feet in front of us, and there was a snake crossing the water. I'm getting like hot. Oh, I'm getting hot like talking about it, because I can't. It freaks me out. But I have no choice on the water but to remain calm, because if you start panicking and moving, that kayak, you're going in the water, and I'm not going in the water with those things, okay? So I crave, like when I tell you my body right now is physically craving to get out on the water in my kayak. I want my purple kayak. I want to go out to the sandbar. I want to go clamming. I want to go crabbing. I want to take my kids out there to enjoy it. You know, I want to get Chewy out in the kayak this summer some more. And that feeds my soul. And it's a damn good workout. and that feeds my soul. So, you know, it doesn't have to be something like that. It can be, you know, whatever it is for you. Getting in the car, like some people are like, oh, driving. There is no greater freedom to me. There is no greater sense of freedom. And like just getting in the car, turning on my music, and just getting on the road and not having a plan and just going, driving. I love to drive. Like, Frank and I are both the same way. That is my way of like feeding my soul as well. I love to drive. I love to travel. I love to explore. So we've got to, and I have to give myself credit. It's been a rough 4 years, like 3 years, basically. You know, raising babies is it's not for the weak. That's for sure. You know, and from 2020, with Javi being born, you know, I almost lost my life with postpartum preeclampsia. It was very scary. You know, just that time period, when you think back to that time period, the way we were living and what we were accepting as normal, and it's weird how quickly you accept things as the norm, right? It's so weird. And just how strange of a time that was to be alive. And Catalina getting diagnosed with type 1 a year later, it was a lot to manage. And I would be hard on myself sometimes. Like, why is it taking you so long to lose this baby weight? What is wrong with you? Like, what is taking so long? Like, you've got to get this weight off. You got to stop this cycle of, you know, wanting every day to start over. And by the end of the night, you just want to eat your face off as a way to escape from it all. we're going to go through hard times, okay? And you got to give yourself grace. You've got to give yourself forgiveness. You've got to give yourself, like, look at what else you're doing, okay? Look at what else you're doing. And, you know, those were some major curveballs handed my way. And now that things are, you know, in a really good place, I'm ready to get back to things that I really miss doing, that I haven't been able to do for the reasons I explained. And I just want to live more. I don't want to exist. I don't want to survive. I want to thrive. And, you know, like, it's so cheesy. I'm a very emotional person, as you can tell. When I got to the mat, so as you're driving from Virginia Beach, which is completely under sea level and flat and surrounded by water, and you're driving up, you know, out west to the mountain area. And as if you know the area, as you start to get to Charlottesville, you're like in the foothills and you start to see the Blue Ridge Mountains. I'm like tearing up when I'm watching, like as I'm driving, I'm like, what is wrong with me? It was that release, that like sense of freedom to be on the road, to be traveling, to be doing something that I really like doing and sharing that experience with my kids. And I need more of that. I crave more of that. And to be able to make that the center of your universe and not the food. You can't make food the center of your life. You can't be obsessed with it. You can't let it run the show. And on the flip side as well, you can't allow your body size to stop you from getting in the water. You can't allow your body size to stop you from kayaking, from going out with your kids and doing things and putting yourself out there and signing up for that job that you really want, or starting that business that you really want. And thinking about the ways that weight and body image, the ways that it has controlled your narrative about yourself. It's not just, oh, I can't fit in a size 8. How has your weight limited your view of the world? Oh, those things aren't for me. Those are for skinny people. Oh, that's not for me. I could never do that. I can't do that. That's for other people. How has it limited your view of the world? How has it limited your view of yourself? And how has it made you small? How has being big made you small? And it is time to break out of that. It is time to not allow it. You can live a life that's fun, that feels good, that's what you want, without food and weight running the show. And again, for those of you that might be listening to me for the first time and you're new to the podcast, don't think for one second that these feelings that I'm having about food are just because of the injections. I don't want that message to be lost. I have been doing this work for a very, very long time. Personal development work with myself around my food and weight stuff, okay? This is just the next step in my journey that's helping me break through to that next level. That's helping me, okay, not have to focus so much on the weight loss. I don't have to obsess and focus every single day about what am I eating? How much am I eating? Did I track it? Did I track it? Did I measure it? I don't want to do that. So this medication is a tool in your toolbox to get you to the goal that you're trying to get, okay? It can't be the only tool in your toolbox. You need other tools in there. You need therapy if you have those issues, right? I still go to therapy every single week. Every single week I go to my therapist and get out what's in my brain. Talk it out with someone who is not emotionally connected to your stuff, okay? I get that stuff out of my brain. I work through it so that I can be focused and not internalize things, okay? Get the therapy that you need. Do the internal work on yourself, like with Irresistible You and listening to the podcast and working through the framework to incorporate the elements that are missing from your standard eat less, move more, right? Like, focus on, so I'm not going to get into those today. We'll go back and listen to other episodes because this is almost an hour and I don't want to dive into all the guiding principles right now. But you need other tools in your toolbox. Okay. And yeah, I don't know what else to say. I feel like when I get to that point in the show, I usually say that because I'm like, I don't know what else to say about this. This is what it is. And I just feel really good about where things are heading. My thought process around food. And I have a new episode coming out this week as well on 10 pounds, 10 times. And I am super excited to share my last result with you guys. So make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. I recommend using the Amazon Music app for your podcast subscriptions. The app is available to Amazon Prime members. There are millions of songs, of podcasts, of stations. That is where I listen to all my music, all my podcasts. I highly recommend it. And if you, again, if you have Prime, you already have access to the app. If you are not a Prime member, you can get a 30-day free trial of Prime. I have linked that in the show notes for you. Click on over to it, sign up, try it out, see if you like it. And I mean, we all know Prime has way more benefits than the podcast and the music app. You've got the 2-day shipping. You've got unlimited photo storage. There's Prime, the Prime channel for streaming movies and shows. There's a lot of other benefits through Amazon Prime. And the other thing I want to share with you as well is if you are considering going on a similar journey with tirzepatide or semaglutide, which are the compounded versions of the prescriptions that you have heard of, Ozempic and Mounjaro, if you are thinking about going on that journey, I use a telehealth company for my prescription. So the telehealth company is completely online. It is the easiest process I have ever done. They will also help you get prior authorizations through your insurance company for the prescription injections. My insurance is still not covering that for me, so I'm using the compounded versions. They work just the same as far as I'm concerned. And if you are considering doing that, I have a code for you to get $40 off your first month of the subscription. It is in the show notes. Go and grab that code. The link is there as well. It's called Mochi Health. They are absolutely fantastic. I highly recommend it. I know there's a lot of companies out here now doing the same thing, but what I like about them as well is that your compounds, no matter if you're on the 2.5 starting dose or the highest dose, you pay the same amount of money for the medication. The cost doesn't increase. So that is all linked up in the show notes and on my blog. Thank you guys so much for listening. I love chatting with you. I will catch you in the next episode. Until then, stay irresistible. Bye, guys.